Praise the Lord. Thank you. Okay, let's be seated. Wow. So I just did in that last session what I talked about, which is just starting to flow with the Holy Spirit. And then I never even got to the message I was going to do. So it's, you've got it now. But if you spend time with the Lord, time in the Word, you begin to grow in these areas. You grow in revelation. And it's part of you that you can share. And so often we want everything to be the information rather than the revelation. When there's revelation, you share it, and you know it. It's in your life. You've built it in. And so I hope that really helps you with your understanding. So it shifts deliverance away from this thing I've got to do against these invisible dark things to get rid of them, to this is a kingdom business. And so I'm the representative of the king who's already conquered them. And my job is to bring the kingdom, preach the gospel of the kingdom, and therefore repent and come aligned with your king. And then out of that, now we can enforce the victory of our king. So when I'm speaking, giving commands as if the king was giving the commands and commanding them to come out. Now, of course, there's a lot of stuff to teach around all of that, but I wanted you to get your thinking up around it so you're not in a state where someone's coming, they've got this impossible problem, and you're there and you feel burdened trying to work it out and overwhelmed. I always work on the basis that every situation I face is the first one and a new one, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me. And so, Holy Spirit, come and help us. Show us where to go, what to do. And if you'll just initiate movement, then you'll find He begins to operate. Things begin to happen. And then suddenly, I might be listening, talking, interacting for quite a while. And then suddenly, I'll see it. And it comes out and gets exposed. And then you know exactly what the issue is. So it's like you have to just be alert to and listening to the Holy Spirit. And then you have to engage the person and interact with them and find out what's going on in their world. Now, that's one-on-one basis. If you run a small group and something happens in the small group, you can do deliverance in a small group, but you need to manage and stay in charge. Never let the demons take over. Have to remain governed. You remain in charge. And same in a bigger meeting, if you're doing that. If you're doing a one-on-one, you still remain in charge. You cannot let the demons direct the way it all goes, the conversation flow. You are here to help find out what is the problem and what is the root system that empowers it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, it says that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So the word, the principle there is demonic spirits work or energize people. That word is energeo, to energize, give life to and power to problems that make it difficult or impossible for people to overcome. So the demons energize the problem, but there's both a demon and a problem. You have to deal with both. If you treat the one of the difficulties with the church is it tends to polarize its thinking. Some people get spiritual, a demon behind everything, and they blame the devil for everything, and that they become super spiritual or unreal. And the thing that's missing is personal ownership. It's all on something spiritual. Leaves everyone disempowered and in awe of the person who talks that way. It's actually all about them. They're quite broken. And then the other extreme is to take the position there's no demons, or Christians can't have demons. And that one then means then that the whole ministry of deliverance is disempowered. And so it doesn't take place, and people are left bound. And so we find the balance where we are called to make disciples, followers of Jesus. And part of making disciples is to lead them into their first experience with Him, where they change kingdoms legally. And then now the ministry to them is one of helping them realign their life with the King in every area of their thinking, their doing life and relationship. They'll teach the word, learn the word, obey the word, build a life with God, those kind of things. And then where there are blockages, where they can't get free, then there's demonic stuff there. We need to deal with that. Or there are emotional wounds and we need healing there. Okay? So if you get a simple overview, helps you in dealing with it. So when I'm working, I'll just help you with this, and then I'll get praying for a few people, see what happens. And see what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm a bit surprised what happens. These things happen. But I always want God to do something. That's the whole point of it, is you want God to be coming and doing things. So when I, because you're leaders and I'm helping you, when I step down to actually start to pray, I'll talk about what I'm doing and what I'm thinking and what's happening as I'm doing. Then it's like you can get inside someone's world. Otherwise you look, what happened? How do you do that? And you don't know. And I had years, no one tell me, and then finally someone helped me. And now I know. Okay, so when we're working with people then, if that's a one-on-one, and bring them in, I want them to prepare before they come. Otherwise, they talk about everything and they'll just go all over the place. And so I want you to tell me what is the problem. So let's talk about the problem that you're facing and let's look where it began. And so we're tracking whatever there's the presenting problem, which is the fruit, and then where does this come from? And so what are the roots that are feeding it? Is this a generational issue? It's been in the family. It started when you're very young. Is this a parental issue? It's been a problem in your family with one or other of your parents, and you've got unforgiveness, bitterness, dishonor, and life's not going well. Is there been some occultic area? Has there been some sexual area? Has there been some traumatic things? We're pulling it open. And as you ask the questions, you find often what happens, I found, is that you find there's like it opens up the person's life and they see the thing I'm facing here accumulated by other things not being addressed earlier on. Now I've got a whole bundle of stuff. And frequently that's because they're in churches that never had any inner healing or any deliverance. So when we do the healing, I do the same thing. I want there to be the Holy Spirit showing what to do and there to be alignment and agreement, and then we pray. I'll give you one other key, then we'll just pray for people. just talk about the prayer part. So one of the issues I mentioned was the issue of forgiveness, needing to forgive from the heart. And the difficulty people have is that they're disconnected from their heart. So they say, I forgive. Okay, I forgive. All right, I forgive them. Right, I forgive them. No. But they haven't. They haven't let it go. It's just head prayer. And it's just like, because many families, people aren't allowed to talk about feelings. The whole post-war generation never talked about feelings, and so everything's buried. And then if you have a person who's had a traumatic experience like a sexual abuse, and you tell them, you just need to forgive. Now they're angry because, and they don't know why, because they know they're supposed to forgive. So the head's saying, you shouldn't be angry. The head's saying, you should forgive. I know the verse, but I'm angry. And you understand, you've just not engaged the heart. We must engage the heart. What is going on in the heart if you want life change? Jesus said, on the Bible it says, man looks on the outside, the behaviors and appearance. God looks on the heart because it's there the motivations are. That's where the roots are. Bitterness is a root in the heart. So I'll just listen to the story, looking for the various places. And then we present, now this is what's needed now. Here's how I want you to prepare for it. So when it's a deep forgiveness thing, instead of rushing it, if I have to, we'll just do the best we can. But mostly, I will give them a homework assignment. Now, homework assignment shifts responsibility to do something on the person and gives room for them to open up to the Holy Spirit to see what he'll do. It just takes away from you being, I'm the fix-it. Come to me, I'll fix it. You don't be like that. You never want to be like that. We're just the servant of the Lord. He's the one who does it. We're the channel to bring truth. And this is the assignment. Now, if it's anyone else but a parent, if it's the parent, this is how we do it. So frequently the issue is a father or a mother, and there's issues because they're hurt and they become angry, they've buried it, they become bitter. It can be cultural issues, but always it's the same. The pain is there, it's all buried, and they become bitter and made judgments. And so what I do is I ask them to do this. I want you to go home, and I want you to now prepare your heart for ministry. And the preparation will be to write an anger letter or write a process letter. And writing helps you bring what you've hidden out. And so I say, I want you to write a letter. Say the issue's with the father. And then do this. I want you to write a letter to your father. So begin by worshiping. Surrender control to the Holy Spirit and ask him to come and help you. And then write it personally like you are writing to him, and you're never going to send it to him. Do not send it. Don't even leave it lying around. Get rid of it when it's done its job. It is a tool to help you with something, not something to send to anyone. Oh, I'll tell you some things. This is not for him, it's for you and God, because you're not being honest. And so I tell him, now, right, now the first page, make it the gratitude page. Gratitude means I'm looking at everything that is really good that's come down my family line through my father that I can honor him for, because the Bible says honor, we honor our father and honor our mother. First commandment, the promise may go well with us. Okay, so dishonor will produce a chaos. So therefore we'll start with honor. Now here's the reason for starting with honor is because if you try to get people to look at the problems, they flip back and say, well, it wasn't that bad, you know, get into reasoning. So you just split it all into two parts. All people have the strengths which you honor, they have the weak places which needs grace, because those are the parts that hurt you, the broken places. So we're going to treat him as just a human being who's had his own journey. We don't know his journey. We don't know how he got there. We don't know what was done to him. All we know is what you experience. So find then all the things that are good and honor those. They say, well, he abandoned me. I never met him. Okay, then, how did you get here? Ah, Dad, right. And every cell in your body is carrying his DNA. So you are here. You have an eternal destiny. God has a plan for you that will mean you'll be part of a kingdom and you'll be involved with him and you have a work and assignment to do, meaningful life. You need to thank your dad at least, if for nothing else, he was the one that God used to bring you into this world. Don't go arguing with God. Oh, why don't you give me a better one? Now, don't go that route. That's not going to get you anywhere. Just God. This is about you, not me. This is about what you can do with someone who is abandoned. You understand? You either look back blaming and bitter, or you look back and say, hey, I'm the one that God chose to bring an end to all this stuff. Isn't that an honor? You understand? That's a matter of perspective. So most people are encouraged to stay in the victim mode. And one of the problems that's going on now is many counselors, New Age counselors, are encouraging children to cut off from their parents just because they got hurt because they said no. All this kind of stuff. Now, when you cut off from your family or your parents intentionally, you're dishonoring them, and then you become detached from where you've come from, and you've got many problems, and your children will have, they'll multiply them for you. So write down all the things. When you finish writing that list, can't write any more. Look at them and say, Lord, I thank you for my dad. I just honor the good legacy that's come. I can see the traits in my life, and I thank you for them. Okay. Then you've got to turn the page to the grief page. The grief page is the hard one. In the grief page, you're going to have three parts to it. In the grief page, so it's again, you're right now, Dad, I need to talk to you about some other things. And make it from your heart. I've never been able to express these things openly. I'm writing them down. See, it's like conversational language. And this is no time for bullet pointing. Dick, 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 dick. This is a time for writing the flow. And now don't think about what you're writing. Just write as the Holy Spirit surfaces it. And so you write, and the three things you'll be writing down, number one, what he did that hurt you, or what he withheld that now you realize has damaged you. He could have withheld approval, could have withheld love, could have held his presence, all kinds of things. But it's not just what people do, it's when they withhold what we should receive from them that really hurts us. Whether it's intent, we're not blaming them. We're not looking at the why, we're looking at what happened. We're just looking at the damage. Like Nehemiah rode around the building, the city, and looked at the damage. Then he came back with the plan to restore. So you're going around, you're looking at what happened, just your journey, that's all. This is what happened. You're writing it down, and then start to move from there into how it affected you, how you feel thinking about it. Now, you've got to be honest. That's where the grief comes up. And sometimes it's overwhelming. So cry. And you don't have to finish it all at once, just cry. Under the grief are the deep issues of the heart. And if you keep stopping the emotions, you don't access the heart. So you just weep, just and have some maybe some worship music on and cry and just let the tears flow. And if you find sometimes it can be deep sobs, Like, that's what happened to that guy when I started to just prophesy over him. He just started to broke down. He started to cry, then sob, and then he's out of control. But and you think when you're doing it, man, I'm going mad. They'll lock me up. No, you're just actually surrendering control. It's always been there. You've just buried it. And so you just allow the emotions to flow as long as it takes, whatever it takes. Then when you've done that part of it, that's what you're going to let go to the Lord and bring to the cross. That's the part you're going to ask him to heal. What he did is what you're going to forgive him for. How it's affected you is the grief, the impact of it, the loss to you, the debt. You're going to release that to the Lord. And then the last part is, what did you do to try and save yourself from further hurt? Were you, instead of letting Jesus save you and doing what Jesus said, you became your savior? Well, you made a judgment, you made a vow, you turned to alcohol, you turned to busyness, you become a super achiever. Whatever you did that was your mechanism to save yourself, you need to identify it. Now you've got three areas to process. What he did or withheld, that's what you're forgiving. The grief that comes with that, you're letting the grief express, first of all. You acknowledge grief, not hide it. And then bring it to the Lord in exchange. He carried our griefs and sorrows. Release it to him and receive healing. And then the last part, where you built the wall in your heart, made vows, made promises, I'll never do this, I'll never, all of them. Now, I repent of all of those things. And renounce those things. Ask the Lord now, surrender to the Lord and ask for grace. So when the letter's all done, then you destroy it. It's just a process tool. And then for a little while after, every day for about a minute or 2 minutes in your prayer, you just begin to think about that person. Lord, I just thank you for my dad. Lord, I just thank you and bless him and just honor him. Thank you what you've brought into my life through him. Lord, I just bless and pray you'll touch his life. If he's dead, it doesn't matter. The whole thing is that as you see him in your imagination and pray and allow your heart to flow, if there's any blockages, you'll feel them. And that, Lord, I'm feeling a blockage. Is there something we missed? Is there something more we need to look at? The goal is not to just get rid of rubbish. It's to move from death to life. And see, so you move from death to life when you can love. See, until you're loving, you haven't move to life. I see you thinking about that one. Let me give another scripture. Ephesians 4, round about verse 22, 23, 24, it says, let him that stole steal. It gives an example. So it says, put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man. Okay, you know the scripture. What does it mean? Don't know. That's the problem. So it gives you an example. So it says, let him that stole steal no more. Stop stealing, and I'd rather let him work with his hands that he may have to give to him as in need. Now, here's the thing. If a thief is stealing, that makes him a thief. If he stops stealing, is he a thief or not? Yeah, it's a trick question. He hasn't changed at all. He just stopped the behavior. What caused the behavior? Because he had an orphan spirit, I'm not provided for. I need to look out for myself. And I'm envious of what you've got. I'm going to take it from you. I don't care about you. I only care about me and getting me ahead. So you see, there's a whole world of thinking that expresses, I'm going to take it. So if he stops taking, he hasn't changed his life. He just stopped taking. It could be many reasons to stop taking. I might get caught, might be thrown in jail, might be whatever. So what you need to do is shift him to here, where he says, he now, God is my provider, God is my father, and so he's going to provide by his grace a job for me, work for me, opportunity, and out of the abundance that I receive, I become a giver. So you stop being a thief or a taker when you become a giver. If a person's a giver, they're not a thief. So if they've got a lifestyle of giving and someone tells them they stole them, no, they didn't. That's a false accusation. Givers are not takers. It's their lifestyle. So God's goal is not just that you cease what you're doing, but you transform to become like Christ and that we become expressive of his nature. So now I'm a giver. I don't give because you need it. I don't give because there's a big altar call for it, there's a big need and drama. None of that. I give because I'm a giver. I'm a generous person. I work, so I'm in a position to give, and I listen to the Holy Spirit because I'm actually only the steward. I know you're thinking about that one, Dee. But so when you get someone free of demons, Jesus taught this. He said, it's disturbing what he said. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. He said, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, what does he do? He comes back. He's seeking rest, can't find a place he's happy in, so he come back. And it says he come back and he finds it. He said, I'll go back to my house. So the demons will come back looking for the person. And he finds them. That's disturbing. The demon can find you. Oh, I think I'll go to another church. He finds you there too. Yeah. I'll go to New Zealand. No, there's lots over there too. I think they're going to find you wherever you are. There's no way. He said he'll find you. And he says not only that, he can find the person. He says he can find his condition. He finds him empty. So in other words, demons recognize you, they know where to find you, and they know your condition, and if the conditions are conducive, they will seek to come back in again. So if you just cast demons out and don't get the person to grow and build their life with God, establish prayer life, then you know they'll be up on another altar call. And then they lose confidence that they ever get free, and they stop trying. So we have to understand, freedom is not about just getting the problem out. It's establishing something else in. It's when the other thing's established, the person is really free. See? And so it said, you call to liberty, but don't use your liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Let my son go that he may serve me. So the path to freedom is a path to know your identity as a son and to be engaged in serving. There's no neutral place. So if you just think in terms of demons, you'll just be trying to drive rats out of a house without getting rid of the filth that brings them in. You understand? They just keep coming back in again. You have to keep you busy, of course, and you're very happy. I'm very important casting out demons. But no, we want people to be changed. Okay. Well, there we are. That's enough of all of that. So we'll just talk now a little about ministering. I'll come down off the stage for that part. It's just a little bit easier. So, and we'll get to pray for a few people. And what I want to do is just I want you to understand the dynamic of it. So we look at, Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So where's the anointing flowing from? From where? Inside. And see, it flows, you're joined one spirit to the Lord. So the anointing flows when you open your heart and you flow out to the person. You can't hide in a cave and expect God to work. He wants you to take the step and express the life. And so what I have found is it's very important if you want to move in deliverance, it's important you let God work in your life to clean you up. And that you stay clean and you're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that you build a life of hungering for His presence. Second thing that's important to do is to develop a strength in your spirit. And you develop, one of the ways you develop strength in your spirit is by strong praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. So your spirit is getting exercised. People don't understand that. You need to develop strength. And strength that can rise up. Just like that. And so many people live in their soul and emotions, so they never develop any strength. But the Bible tells us that John the Baptist grew and became strong in the Lord. He grew and strong in spirit, sorry. And it says of Jesus, he grew and became strong in spirit. So you're not born strong in spirit. You grow strong in spirit. So you intentionally build. And there's a number of ways. One of them is strong praying in tongues. Because as you pray in the spirit, your spirit starts to rise. Your spirit becomes energized by the Holy Ghost. Your spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you. You're coming alive on the inside. Starting to rise up. The energy and life starts to flow. So you learn to get your voice. A lot of people that no voice. But all the miracles, they had quite strong voice. Spoke. How did God get miracles into the earth? Spoke. So your voice is really important. So you have to be able to speak gently. If you're going to touch hearts, you want to deal with demons, speak strongly. Forcefully. Now, not loudly. Loudly, you'll just lose your voice. But you speak with force. from your spirit. That's what the demons know. They know whether you know you have authority, and they know whether you exercise it. So you've heard someone, be quiet, everyone, be quiet. No one takes any notice. You don't even feel the strength in there. But if you can speak from your spirit, then you start to touch people, start to touch demons. So learn to speak strongly. If you pray strong in the spirit, the anointing flows, your whole spirit gets energized and comes alive on the inside. And then you find the atmosphere around you starts to fill with the presence of God. And then not only that, then your head clears and you get ideas. God starts to speak. So I found just walking and praying and fixing my mind on the Lord, I can feel my spirit rising up. And then as the atmosphere shifts, I'll come quieter. I'm in a worship realm. I'll hear God very clearly. And so you learn to build strength in your spirit. And then practice on praying for lots of demons to come out. And the more you practice, the stronger you get. So when I went to Asia, that's where I learned and practiced. And they'd say, I've got all these people to pray for. There's 1,000 of them there. Can you pray for them? Yes, of course I can do that. And I'd never done it in my life. Doesn't matter. You see, I've learned if you put yourself out there and won't say no, God will help you. We're not talking about being foolish, but we're just talking about doing the things that build stamina. And I remember I was invited to Taiwan, and it was the grand, they wanted me to come in and introduce deliverance into the country, and I was the one they chose. So we go there, and it was hard. It was really hard. And the first meeting, pretty tough. We got some breakthroughs and things happening. And then I got to day 4, and I woke up in the morning, no voice. I thought, oh, man, no voice. And so what do? We got no voice. I just whispered to the Lord, I didn't come here to do nothing. I'll have my voice by tonight. And so I just prayed, just worshiped the Lord, rested, and then got out that night, preached. Voice came the moment I got on the stage. And then it stopped the moment I finished. Nothing. Now I've got hundreds of people to pray for. Hundreds to pray for. And so, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to back up or are you going to do something? I said, I'm going to pray, Lord. I didn't come here not to do this. This is my assignment. So I got down. I got the first one. And I said, Lord, I'm really struggling because I've got this bronchial thing and I can't use my voice without it hurting and problem. He said, it's not all about your voice. It's about your spirit. And he said, you just need to rise up in your spirit and it'll happen. And so I was able to pray for 400-600 people, all got delivered. And I never had to strain my voice once. It's not about your voice being loud. It's about strength from your spirit through your voice. Eh? So that's something you can practice. Practice developing a strong spirit. Okay. Now we'll just look at just praying for people, and we'll just pick someone out and help me. Are you a helping girl, eh? Oh, I love that. Isn't that great? Sure, I'm a helping girl. Okay, well, come on then. Come on over then. You can help me. Okay, just standing there. That's all you got to do. Just stand there. Hopefully someone will stand behind you. Just face me. That's right. That's the way. There we go. Great stuff. All right then. So when you come to minister to people, ministry means I'm serving people. I'm bringing the life of God to them. So there may be some dialogue and interchange and whatever, but I want to focus on bringing the ministry of the Spirit to people. And this is the bit that people get nervous in doing. And so when you get nervous or a little anxious, what will happen is your soul will close up on itself, and that stops your spirit and anointing flowing. So there's a discipline required not to allow yourself to close up. Because when you close up, then there's no anointing will flow. And if no anointings flow, you're left on your own. Then you feel on your own. Now, what can I do? I know. Oh, God, just bless them, help them. Lord, just take away their problems and make their family happy and live happily ever after. It's very shallow. It's just empty prayers. And everyone knows nothing happened. And then when you walk away, you feel really bad because you know it was a failure. So you have to get over all that stuff. It's not about you. It's about learning and practicing. So the first thing is, it's me. I'm just here to bring what God gives me to this person. So I'm here to practice. So I found the best thing is if I consider all ministry is practicing. In practicing, you don't always get everything right, but you can get some right, then you'll be better next time. So we're always practicing. So send them in. Let me practice on them. And that's it. We're practicing. And we're doing the best we can. And so that I felt it just gets away the performance pressure. Performance is where your trouble is. And so as soon as you get out of performance mindset and worrying what people might think, then you're free to flow. And so you find you flow in the spirit best when you're rested and when you had time in the presence of God and relaxed. It just flows more easily. And so I could have gone and just taught off what I had. I think it went a lot better when I did what I did because I just flowed. And what's in you then flows. You flow with the Holy Spirit then. All right then. Okay, you can stand behind her. That's good. Okay, just in case something happens. I don't know what's going to happen. Here it is. Just put your hand on my hand lightly. Just like that. Just touch like that. Just all I'm doing is making a connection right now. And so probably the simplest thing that everyone can do is prophesy. And you can all prophesy. Do you want me to get on the stage? It's too far. Am I too small? I'm okay. She said, we're okay. Okay. So the first is prophesying. Prophesying is getting revelation, speaking forth revelation. And when you get revelation from God and you speak it, then there'll come a flow of life. If you keep doing it, then the river increases. So the thing to learn about the moving of the Spirit is this. Ezekiel had a vision in Ezekiel somewhere, 37, maybe 47, I don't know. He had a vision. What he saw in the vision was this. He saw the house of God. He saw a temple. Now, he's in the Old Testament, so God lived in a temple. Where does he live now? Us. Okay, so he saw a temple. So when you look at that verse, you got to see it's a person. And what did he see? He saw water flowing out of the door. And what is the water picture of? Well, Jesus told us the answer to that. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit. And man, isn't the Bible helpful? It even tells what it means. So he saw a house. He saw a river of water flowing through the door. And he saw it flowing, and he stepped into the river, and it was only ankle deep, very little water. So we see then the water may not be much when you start flowing. And then as he walked with the water got deep up to his knees and up to his waist. Then it became a river. He carried by the river. And where did it go? It went to heal people and save them and all kinds of things. So if you say, what happens if I step out in the Spirit? What will happen? Well, I don't know. But the Bible tells us it goes down, and people, if you stay in it long enough, there'll be people get healed and lives get changed. So you've just got to keep in mind, he saw what this is about. It's about people carrying the anointing, stepping out and opening their mouth, and as they move with the Spirit of God and stay there and don't think about themselves, then more happens. It's just, you need to do that. Once you understand that, then we can just step out and see what'll happen. So right now, do I have anything? No. So now I've got to step forward. Okay? So what I'll do is rather than just pray for her, I'll explain the process as I do it, and then we'll see what God does. Okay? Just see what he does. I don't know what you're going to do. Just touch the island. Okay, so I do this because it's good to make contact with people. And secondly, I'm not in a position to push you or shove or anything. That would be tempting if you want to make something happen. Make something happen. Don't do that. If you do that, you're in the flesh. You know, we just want God to touch her. Okay, close your eyes. Now, what I found very helpful is this. I get people to look at the Lord, focus your attention on the Lord. I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to fix your mind on Jesus who loves you and has called you. Now, in doing that, she positions herself for the Spirit of God to touch her. And so just keep your eyes fixed on him right now, reaching out to him. As you do that, the Spirit of God will be drawn and attracted to you. You'll be attracted. Now, so that's getting her position right. Okay? And as she's positioned right, already the Spirit of God's on her. Look at that. Holy Spirit, touch her. Power of God just all over her. So I kind of got, I just jumped in. We'll have to do it again. Just get it back on the feet again. Help her up. I just felt what God was doing and jumped because he was going ahead of me anyway. So just if he get her on the feet, otherwise I have to find someone else. Leave her, you reckon leave her, okay. Are you volunteering, are you? Yeah. Okay, there we go. All right, just stand there. Right there. What's your name? You or
Ty?
Ty. Okay, great. Ty. Okay, just take your hand like that. Okay, so I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to focus on the Lord. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is when people are hungry for God, the Spirit of God will be attracted to them. Yes, if they're not, or they've got issues, when you try to minister, you'll feel a wall. How many felt the wall? My Lord, it's like a like a tree or something. It's horrible. But it's real. There's a wall there. And where's the wall? It's not there's something wrong with you. There's just a block inside them from receiving. And so if you pray, what's going to happen? Nothing. Then what will happen? Oh, you'll feel bad. I don't want to pray. I don't like praying. Don't ask me again. I'm going home. And I don't... No, basically all that happened was you didn't discern there was a resistance, yes, and you didn't stop and address it. Yeah, if you just stopped and asked the Holy Spirit, there seems to be a block. Let's talk about that. What's going on? And maybe the person you're praying for, hey, I'm sensing a block. What's happening? Are you feeling that block too? And then you can talk about it and bring it to the light. And sometimes there's just a lot of rejection and unbelief that sits with it, and then they can't receive for themselves. So when you tell them to open up to the Lord, they don't really believe that Jesus is going to touch them. And therefore, you feel that wall of unbelief. So you just remove that wall of unbelief by talking about it and praying. Just break it off them, and the person's ready to receive. Sometimes it's a wall of fear and control, and you've got to get them to surrender control. They've been hurt so much, they don't want to let go. So don't ignore things like that. And if you've got a lot of people to pray for and someone's got a wall, don't spend a lot of time on it, or you'll end up having, you'll be emptied out. Trying to overcome something it's not your job to overcome. We're just to facilitate what God is doing, not trying to force things to happen. If you see things that way, you find ministry a lot easier. Okay, so we just close your eyes now. Okay, and I would just reach out to the Lord now. So we're just going to what I'm basically wanting to do is step out in prophecy, but I'm trying to break it down. So we've got him looking to the Lord now. What I'll do is I will just close my eyes and fix my mind on Jesus and just be in the place I am in prayer during the day. And often when I go there, I'll just get an impression, be a word, a voice, something will happen. I'll get a thought come, a picture come, and I can feel the Spirit of God on him very powerfully. And so it's tempting to just jump ahead. I'll see if I can get to the prophetic. And once you start that flow, then that'll flow for a bit. If I get into deliverance, then deliverance will start to flow. Everything changes. There's an anointing. Yes. And the crazy thing, I'll be in deliverance, and so I'll get someone say, could you prophesy over me? Man, God's doing all this stuff, and you're totally out of touch. It's like you're tone deaf. You know, no, I'm not going to do it, because I'll have to break the flow of what God is doing. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. So what I'm doing now is just taking that scripture, I do what I see my Father doing. Father loves the Son. He shows him all things he himself is doing. And so I'm just looking. If you feel pressure and start to try and do something to make it all happen, then you'll get out of the Spirit. You just have to, I'll share what I receive. Jesus said, such as I have, I give unto you. So you have to receive. So practicing listening to God, being in his presence and being still will help you with this. Okay, so I fix my mind on him now. Thank you, Lord. You just know exactly where he is, what he needs right now. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? That's what I'm doing, inquiring inside. And I'm avoiding feeling the need to make something happen. I've got to push that away. Now, I've slowed this all down, so it's like a slow motion thing right now. In practice, I could just pick someone out and go there and just do it straight away. But I'm trying to slow it down so you see what's happening. Okay, so I'll just fix my eyes, and there may be... And just, I saw something, just a small picture came to mind. And so now, it's the first tissue, and that's all you got. So you have to step out with the first thing you get and believe that as you share it, more will come. And so if you're ministering to people, minister in love, minister as if Jesus was doing it. If it's deliverance, it'll be forceful. If it's just ministering prophetically, it'll be gentle, direct. And don't be spiritual in it. Just use natural language. Don't get important. It's just you're bringing something to Lord, okay? So this is what I felt as I was just reaching out to the Lord. I saw a picture of a boat in a storm. And there was wind, and the wind was blowing the boat all around. And I saw Jesus coming to that boat and the storm calming down as eyes were fixed on him. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage you to keep your eyes fixed on him. You have been stepping out. There's some new initiatives you're taking, but there's been a storm around it. There's been upheavals. There's been pushback. There's been some words spoken. There's been difficulties and challenges you didn't anticipate. The Lord says He is with you in stepping out. He's with you in connecting into the community. He's with you in bringing hope to those who are broken. He's with you in bringing healing. He's with you in resourcing those who have nothing. He has put within you the heart of a father to father them. You have had your own challenges. You've had to walk quite a lonely path, but God has raised you up that you might father many younger ones, that you might bring hope to them and help to them, strength to them and encourage them to them. And even though you're in the midst of the storm, it's not your making. The storm is just the adversary coming against you to try and hinder you stepping out in the season of your life. You're about to expand greatly in this coming year.
Come on.
Holy Spirit, touch him. Minister to him right now. Let your power come on him. So now what I just got was just a picture of the boat in the storm and Jesus walking to it, and then it calmed down. So I share what I see, and in the belief that I'll see more, and then as I see more, I start to show it. And I'm asking questions, what is that about? And so what is that about? What about? And just keep asking questions. The big thing inside I had to learn to do was not to judge it. Well, I can't, it's a little, you know, but rather just keep asking, oh, what does that mean, Lord? And what are you trying to say through that? What is the boat? And what is the storm? What's causing the storm? What do you want him to do? So it's like gentle inquiring. If you ask the Holy Spirit, you draw on the flow and it deepens. Hey? Okay. Okay, how you doing? Was that accurate for you?
Ridiculous.
Well, how about that? And you see what I'm saying? You just have to step into and start to walk, and you don't know where it'll go or what'll come out the other side. But God just needs people who'll take the risks. He just needs you to step out and give it a go and try it. See, so we broke it down. Okay, we're just with this girl here. Why don't you come on up? What's your name?
Sydney.
Okay, just stay there for a moment, Joe. Could you just do it my shoelace? Silly things come undone. Right, just write what I'm about to do, something important, something silly like that. Well, lots, yeah. How long can he stand on one leg? You know, not long. Okay. Just touch my hand like that. Just close your eyes and fix your eyes on the Lord. Now, when you're ministering power, power flows from within. Power is released in a number of ways. It requires, first of all, faith. You must believe that God has anointed you. When you command a demon, you're going to do it with force. You know, God says, my word is like a hammer. So when I'm praying against demons, I'll pray with strength. But it helps if you learn to arise in your spirit. And then two simple ways that the power of God is released. One is through blowing. Now, you can blow all you like. Nothing happens. But if from within my spirit, power of God starts to touch her, she'll start to tremble. Fire comes upon her. Fire of God is all over you right now. Fire of God igniting you. So now what I'm doing is speaking what I'm seeing. And as I speak and give words to what I'm seeing, it manifests more strongly. Fire. Fire. Okay, now just step back a little bit now. And now what I'm seeing then, as you start to flow, you start to see something. And I just see God wants to break off your life a spirit of intimidation. It has been there for many, many years. Now you see, so the next thing, notice I've just got one little bit of revelation. Now I just need to say, well, what's that all about? And if I push in, the Lord may give me a bit more. So what is that intimidation? It's a fear to stop you stepping out and doing things you want to do. And it came upon you because of a lot of criticism. I see you being criticized and criticized constantly. It's like nothing I can do is right has become a stronghold in your mind. I'm not good enough and nothing I do is right. But that's a lie that came because a parent was critical. And that's a spirit that's been down the family line that God wants to break off your life in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we speak now. I speak to that spirit of criticism. I break critical words. I break the generational curse of criticism and bitterness. I break it off your life now. I command that bitter spirit I command you to release her now. I break the lie, nothing I do is good enough. I break it, I break it, I break it, I break it. I break the grief and frustration that's come with that. I break that too. I command you to loose her when I count to three. One, two, three. Loose now in Jesus' name. Loose. Loose. I break every wish to die. Spirit of death, loose her now in Jesus' name. Let it go. Come on. Out, 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 out. Spirit of depression, loose in Jesus' name right now. Loose. Come out. Thank you, Lord. Can we go and the girls just come and be with her just to comfort her, please? All right, now, so what I tried to do was break down and slow down the whole thing. Normally, someone ministering would just come, pick the person out, boom, 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 something happens, and you wondered what happened. So I've tried to just slow it down that we're in a river, and the first step was just to get and to choose the person, take the risk. Then take another step, okay, let's just pray and see what God is doing. And then I got a picture or an impression. Okay, well, where's that come from? How long has that been there? Okay, now I've got a little bit more. Now, at any point, you can become afraid and say, what if I get it wrong? If you do that, you focus on yourself, the flow stops. You've just got to say, I'm giving myself to serve her because Jesus loves her. And so even though I don't get it all right, I'll get enough right that will help her. It's this thing that I got to get everything right, very religious thing. And so as I did that, I'm asking God, what's that? Oh, I felt criticism. And then I felt, oh man, there's words, but I could see like words raining down. And then I felt this thing, I can't never do anything right. And I think that's the spirit of criticism. And then, where is it? Oh, it's been long. It's been there in the family line. And then we start to get the point. Now we minister. So you need to step into revelation to flow in power. Make sense? So you notice what, and I've just shown it to you, is I've started to do it. Because some of you are looking, what? It's when God comes, he comes quick and stuff happens. It's really quick. You've got to watch or you miss it. So I'm trying to slow it down so it doesn't come too, so it doesn't come too quick, just so you can see what happens. In the reality, you're in a flow. You're just moving. Yeah. You're picking one person after another, and things are happening. Yeah. And so ministry, if we move in revelation, it can flow to deliverance. Yeah. So the prophetic should uncover the hidden things and bring people to a place of freedom and life. So practice prophesying, practice looking for a word, a thought, an impression, a picture, look to see and start to stretch out to do it. Every day pray, thank you, Lord, today I hear your voice clearly and I instantly obey. Thank you, Father, you're showing me the things you're doing. I see what you are doing. The Father loves the Son, shows him what he is doing. And in other words, you build in prayer before you ever try to do anything in public. And building in prayer means you can go into a meetings or whatever, and then you're waiting for the little prompting of the Holy Spirit to trigger off what he's going to do. Amen? Okay, well, I see we're running out of time. I just need to pray for a few more people. And what I'll do is I'll start to pick it up. And then what you'll notice is it's like I'm getting deeper in the river. It'll just get like a river where then there's lots of things will start to happen. And then when lots of things happen, you move quick. So if I point to you, don't, oh, is that me? No, just, even if it wasn't, I want it. Because otherwise you hinder. We need to respond promptly to the Holy Spirit, not take all day. You know, he likes a prompt obedience. When you do that, he says, it's not about you, it's about the atmosphere shifting as people respond. Get the idea? Okay, so pray. So now I'm back to it again. Got to take a risk again. You see, it's always being just willing to take the risks. So you got to believe that God is good, God loves people, God wants to do stuff, and then where we're going to move. So I'm trying to make this a training session rather than fix all your problems, because, you know, if I try and catch all the fish today and give you a feed, then you're never going to learn. But if I just help you with this, okay, you quick, come quick. Just come and stand over here. Stand there, right there. Just come, put your hand on my hand. Just close your eyes. You've been hungry and searching. And you've come from a place of incredible brokenness. I just see a season in your life where you're in a great darkness. And someone came and really gave themselves to rescuing you and helping you. And it's touched you very deeply that someone would do that for you. And God is raising you up. He's making you a voice to young people. He's making you a voice to those from broken families. He's wanting to touch your life now, and he's wanting to deal with the spirit of trauma that came over when you're very young. I just see violence all around you, and God's wanting to break that trauma right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I command the spirit of trauma and fear. Go now in Jesus' name. Loose him right now. Loose, 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 loose. Loose, come out now. Spirit of death, loose in Jesus' name. Tormenting spirits, loose. Abandonment, loose. Thank you, Lord. Stuff happening. Come quickly, come quick. Just come. Now, I won't just prophesy over everyone. What I'm going to move, just move to release power. And then, because we want to get you all anointed for the next thing. Holy Ghost, come touch them. Oh, shepherd. You're a shepherd to people. You got lots of people under your care, and they really love you. They look up to you, literally. And they also look up in their heart to you, because you've got one of the most gentle hearts. You just are so gentle. You love people. You love to see God touch their lives. And sometimes you weep over the things you see them going through. Your heart is so sensitive. And God is raising you up. I see your ministry growing and expanding. There's plans already in place for enlargement. I just see an alteration of responsibilities. You've proven yourself faithful. Holy Spirit, come upon him. Let the anointing and fire of God come upon him right now. One, two, three. Bah! Fire. Just come quick. Just come, just hands, just put your hand on my hand like this. Close your eyes, look up. Holy Spirit, touch her. Let your anointing just come all over her right now. Touch. Yeah, fire of God, start to touch her now. Touch her, Lord. Fill her, Lord. Fill her. Thank you, Lord. There it is. I can feel the presence of God all over you right now. You know, there's some things you wanted to step out into. You really wanted to step out. It's almost like someone put a wall around you to contain you. So you'd always be just a little afraid to step out in case something went wrong. God wants to break that wall. It's a wall of fear. It's a wall of control where someone's tried to control what you could do and control how far you could go and put control around your life. It's left you with a deep grief in your life. You know you're called for much more. It's like you look when other people do things, you say, I'd love to do that, but there's something holding you back. And I just see like there's a hook into you, and it's a hook of criticism and control. And the Lord is going to break that power off your life right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take dominion over the spirit of witchcraft and control. I break the power of controlling words, critical words. I break the lie. I'm a failure. I can't do it. I break that lie now. On the count of three, I command all the tormenting spirits to come out. One, two, three, loose. Now, can you see the pace of and the flow is coming up? Now, in this church, very open. Some churches not so open. This very open church, the Holy Spirit. So it means power flows much more easily. And if you've got a group or a meeting or whatever, you should believe for God to work in your meeting as well. And to touch people. And stretch all the time. Stretch, stretch, stretch. Stretch with words of knowledge. Pray before you go to the meeting. Here's a key to help you. Practice without pressure. So when you're in prayer the night before your meeting, you pray, you think about the meeting, you need to look around all the people there. Look around, Lord, show me a need. Show me something you want to minister to. And maybe a name comes to mind, or she gets a man or a woman or whatever. And you have, this is the need, write it down. Then you pray in the Spirit again. Thank you, Lord. Give me another word of knowledge. And maybe it's something else, you write that down too. And then without any pressure, you've got some words of knowledge. Then you need to minister them. So don't minister them in fear. Minister them in boldness. You would go something like this. Well, I've been praying before the meeting, and the Lord has been showing me tonight the Holy Spirit wants to touch people, and there's some specific needs I'm going to call out that God gave me. He wants to help you tonight, wants to bring a breakthrough. There's someone here, and you have this situation, whatever, and who is that person? And you call it, and then they come. And then the Spirit of God starts to move on them, and then you bring the second one, and so then you start to get a movement of the Holy Spirit in your meeting. Always keep them alive and bubbly so they're not quite sure what will happen each time. It's a bit of a little bit edgy in it, you know? When it's edgy like that, then people really bring their friends because something's going to happen. Something's going to happen and see God move. Want to see the Holy Spirit move. Why not? Holy Spirit can move anywhere. Isn't that right? Come on, dear, quickly. Come quickly. Thank you. Just put your hand on my hand, just lightly. That's right. Oh, touch the Lord. Fire, fresh fire. Now, you see, so each time I do that, I'll frequently feel something. Not physically feel. I'll just get something in my spirit come. And so maybe a word or a picture come. And now if you stop and try and work out, and I look, and that doesn't look like her. Now, you'll judge and lose what God's given you. You have to take the risks. And if you'll step out into the water, believing God will give you more, He will. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Holy Spirit. What I felt was God is wanting to just touch an area of your life where there's been grief and disappointment. And only you and He would know what that is. But there's something that you were hoping, something you were looking forward to. And it's just been quite a disappointment in there. It's taken an edge off you. And the Lord wants to restore that passion, restore that love, restore that expectation. And if you'll just let it go to Him, the weight of it is going to come off you. You know, sometimes things happen in life and the devil doesn't always cause them, but he can use them to manipulate us so we lose our confidence and lose our strength. God just wants to touch you tonight. Lord, touch her. Just come upon her now. Let your love flow like a river, flowing and touching. Now, Jesus' name. Someone here carrying deep grief. You have deep grief and disappointment. You had some things you were looking forward to. There was this last 3 months, something happened that's brought quite a sense of grief around your life. Who is that person? There's a woman here carrying a deep spirit of grief over their life. I just want to pray for you. Who's that woman? Out this way over here. Who's that? Oh, there we are. Over there. Come. Just come over here. And while you're doing this, girl, here's the blonde one. Here you come to. That's right. God bless you. What's your name, dear?
Isabella,
what a beautiful name. I have a granddaughter called Isabella. She is beautiful like you. Lord, touch her today. You know, when things happen and that we never expected, and something we look forward to is taken away, grief comes. Grief is a part of life, and it can overwhelm us completely. And I just see like it's come around you like a mantle. You haven't been able to get up, you haven't been able to pray. You've slowed down, you've kind of lost your interest. But when you came today, you were coming with a prayer in your heart, God, touch me today. I need you to touch me today. I need your help today. I'm on the point of giving up. And the Lord heard you cry before you came. That's why I got the word of knowledge. I wasn't expecting that, but just got it anyway. God loves you very deeply, Isabella. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You have tended to blame yourself. You've tended to internalize it, take it all in and blame yourself. The Lord says it's not your fault. He wants you to let it go into His hands and not carry a weight of what someone else has done. What has happened has been very close to you. It's like it's thrown your life into chaos. It's in family. And it's been very disappointing for you. And you felt embarrassed, so you haven't talked to anyone about it. But the Lord says He sees. It's not your fault what happened. It's not your fault. Don't take sides. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. And don't let the devil steal from you what God has called you to. I see you with young people. You're working with young people. You're a fireball with young people. You're called to be a fire starter. You're a gatherer of people. People just love you because you've just got such a kind, tender heart. But when things happen, you take it personally. And God's teaching you to become strong and to learn to rise up and overcome these hurdles. This is all an assignment to distract you away from what you're called to do. And I see you reaching young ones and helping them. I see broken ones particularly, people that have got issues. Girls. I see you ministering to girls, touching their lives, bringing deliverance. God wants to use you to deliver them, set them free. Girls, to set them free from abuse, to set them free from being abandoned, to set them free from being manipulated, taken advantage of. I just see the Lord pouring a compassion into your heart, So right now, in a moment, the Spirit of God will come on you. The grief is coming off you right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every spirit of grief, abandonment, disappointment, loneliness, when I count to three, you'll loose her. One, two, three. Loose now, in Jesus' name. So some of you would want to ask the question, why do you do one, two, three? Whereas Jesus didn't do that. But he did build expectation. So all I'm doing there is just giving a focal point for the deliverance and just building an anticipation for something to happen. One. So you're thinking, when's he going to take two? Two. Now, what happens is you start to think anticipation. And then I find that that just is, I don't do it all the time, I just do it sometimes, it just helps. Oh, here you are. There you are. You're here. Come on over, quickly. Quickly. That's right. Just put your hand on my hand like that. Holy Spirit, just touch her now. I'll pour your anointing upon her. You know, you've got a very soft heart too. You carry things very close to the heart. And you've been carrying a lot of things. You've been carrying a lot of burdens close to your heart. During the meeting today, you've been hungry for God to touch you. You've been longing for Him to touch you because it's been loneliness. You know, it shouldn't be lonely, but you are lonely. And lonely and disappointment, those are the two words that come. And the Lord says He's here to save you and to help you. He's to help you. You know, He took our disappointments on the cross. He took our loneliness on the cross. He wants you to grow in this season in your life, to learn how to stand in your spirit. You know, you've looked to people to be supportive, but God's teaching you how to stand up on the inside. Your person's got a beautiful heart. You're very creative. I see a ministry of creativity, and creative people are often very sensitive in their thinking. They're very sensitive in their heart, and they're very sensitive, especially to criticism. And when criticism comes, it's like it take it personally, and that's where you're vulnerable. So God wants you to just let those things go. Those people that have criticized you and hurt you, just forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. Stand up and continue. Keep moving forward in the call of God. Do not go to the left. Do not go to the right. Do not be tread aside because of what people say or do. You know, John, Peter spoke to Jesus, and he was talking about John. He said, "What's this man going to do?" Jesus said, "None of your business. You follow me. Just follow me. Follow me." You've had some family issues, some pressures there of disapproval about what you're doing. It's almost like they disapproved of the decision you made that you would make yourself more available for the Lord, and it's cost you a lot. And it's often the way when we start off with God, we pay the price and family disapprove, and we have to stand and hold our ground. But Jesus had to do the same. Did you know His family came to the meeting and said, "We want to take Him home. He's mad." How about that? So if they did that to Jesus, undoubtedly we'll have a little bit of that. And we've had heaps of it. Father, right now, just touch her heart. We pray, Lord, that You'll bring healing to her, that, Lord, You'd restore her joy again. I take authority over the assignments against you. I break them off your life right now. Let it go. Let it go. Now. Now. Touch right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So you're noticing now lots of stuff is happening. So when it's like that, we can start to move then to having a lot of people being prayed for very quickly. Because the anointing, the realm opens up in the spirit once the flow. Someone has to start it going.
Yeah.
Someone has to make way for the Holy Spirit. Then bigger things can happen. Amen? Okay then. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to have a general altar call now. Get to pray for people because I can sense lots of needs coming up. And I know we're near the end of time. So what I need to do is just, I want to do this one quicker this time and do it on a bigger scale. So what we're going to do, one of the things that happens when we're a Holy Ghost church and we're involved in missions and evangelism is there are attacks of witchcraft come. Yeah. Many, many attacks. Now, witchcraft is a spirit that comes, and it comes to intimidate and get you to withdraw. Yeah. So Elijah did a great work for God, and then he was attacked by a spirit of witchcraft, caused him to feel intimidated, and then he withdrew from his assignment. And then when you withdraw from your assignment, draw back in your heart a little bit, you lose authority. Yeah. Next thing you know, he isolates, then he sits down and becomes passive, then he's feeling disheartened, and then he just wants to die. I've been in that place a few times until I worked out it was a demon, and it was just I'm being attacked by a spirit of witchcraft. And so I think there's a number of you here today, I'm feeling in my spirit, that have been attacked by witchcraft. It's come through people near to you. It's come through people who have spoken against you. It's come sometimes just from the demonic realm. People don't like what we're doing, and they pray or they do occult witchcraft against us. But when it happens, you feel like you can't engage God. Your prayer life, it's like God is a long way off. You feel disheartened and disconnected and often a bit numbed out inside. But I want to just pray to break that off your life. And so if that's you, we'll just make an altar call right now. Need to clear some room up the front here, and we can do that. So if that's you, I believe there's quite a number of people who've just gone through that spirit of that witchcraft attack. Just come and lift your hands to the Lord, and I'll show you exactly what to do. Just come. That's right. Just give me a bit of room so I can walk by there. That's right. Okay, that's right. There we go. Come on, let's come. Come, 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 come. Move quickly now. Move quickly. That's the way. Come, come. Just form a line across the front. You know, if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have some fight back. So I've had my worst pushbacks when I'm about to do my best thing. So I've had to learn to deal with all of that. Okay, you ready? That's right. Now, this is what, we're going to do a couple of things. Now, the first thing is when witchcraft comes, you lose energy. You're just tired without doing much. You feel disheartened. Prayer is very difficult, if not impossible. You just sit down inside, like Elijah did under the tree. God, I'm done. I'm done. I haven't got it in me to step up again. See? Now, that's what's happening. And the reason it's happening is because of the church. The church is in a growth mode. The church is in a breaking into nations mode. The church is into taking new ground mode. A church is a Holy Spirit church, so you're having these things come against you. And so you just need to learn to fight. Need to learn to fight. So this is what I'm going to get you to do. I want you to listen, because the freedom comes through the instructions. Okay, now the first thing we're going to do is I want us to break out of almost like a melancholic caught up in myself. You need to fight. You need to fight back. See, Jehu, when the anointing came on Jehu to destroy the witchcraft, they immediately tried to compromise him. Well, you know, can we talk a deal? Can we make peace? And he said, what peace is there while there's this witchcraft and this adultery's going on? We're going to none of it. You get behind me. And so you need there's got to be a strength come inside you. So I could just come along and pray for healing of the heart, but I want you to become a fighter. And so I'm going to give you a simple exercise to do to move the atmosphere over your life. Then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. At the end of the prayer, I want you to begin to pray strongly in tongues. I will pray an apostolic prayer over you, then come and lay hands on you. When I lay hands, stop what you're doing. Just let the power of God come. I need to have catches very ready to catch, because stuff will happen quickly. And it may happen just not where I am or where I'm praying. Are you all ready? Okay, here's the exercise first of all. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Ready? One, two, three. Come on, let's shout to Him. 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 We shout to you, Lord. We break out of this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your presence is here. Your power is here right now. Okay, just stop now. That's great. Now, you're going to see the demons come out straight away. I didn't even pray for anyone. We just shifted the atmosphere. Now, we're going to do it again. Don't get distracted. Stay focused on what Jesus is doing, not what's happening to someone else. This is about your encounter. Okay. Now listen carefully again. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want you to follow. And we're just going to declare your faith in Christ. We're going to ask the Lord to forgive us for drawing back in the face of witchcraft. And then we're going to stand against it, command that spirit to go from your life. And then when we've done that, everyone begin to clap and shout like we did before. I'll pray a prayer and take dominion over that spirit, then come and lay hands on people. And it'll all be very quick. It'll happen very quick, so watch out. You're standing in the second row, you're the catcher. If you're in the front row, just relax the moment the hand's laid on. Bam, power of God on you. Okay, we all ready? Jojo, where are you? You need to come and help me with all of this. Where's the pastor? Ken, need to come and help me. If he's still around. Okay, you're ready now. Follow me in prayer now. Remember, this is militant, so it's not praying a nice, dear Jesus, please help me. I'm not feeling well. I'm really down. Need your help. No, don't go that way. We're going to believe God and stand up. You ready? Okay, then. Right. I want you to follow me right now. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus from every curse, from all witchcraft, every spirit. I belong to you. I belong to you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for drawing back. Lord, I turn to you. I take fully on the responsibility you've given me. I stand up again and receive a fresh anointing. I now speak to every spirit of witchcraft. On the count of three, I command you to go from me. One, two, three, go, go. Okay, just clap and shout. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak into the spirit realm. I take dominion over witchcraft. Every spirit of witchcraft, loose, 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 loose. Loose, loose, loose. Spirits of grief, loose.